Our first reading today comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 20. This can be found on page 902 of the Pew Bibles. Paul gives us a clear definition of who Jesus is. Colossians 1, reading from verse 15. Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, reading verses 8 to 20, which can be found on page 781 of the Pew Bibles. We hear the words of the angel proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa? A rebel without a clause. When you stop believing in Santa Claus is when you start getting clothes for Christmas. I told Santa that you were good this year, and he hasn't stopped laughing ever since. A guy bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. After hearing about this extravagant gift, a friend of his said, "I thought she wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles." "She did," he replied, "but where was I going to get a fake Jeep?" In our society today, I think the most used word at Christmas time is probably the word gift or present. And for many people, what gift they get or do not get at Christmas makes it or breaks it for them. December is the only month of the year when everyone forgets about the past, forgets about the future, and focuses on the present. Kids especially have a hard time waiting for Christmas, all the excitement about the gifts they're hoping to get. I remember when my kids were young, going through the Argus catalogue with them and folding down the pages of all the gifts that they would like. Nowadays, kids can write a letter or text Santa directly, letting him know what they want for Christmas. Here are a few actual requests. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you're really hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza as well. This is from a 4-year-old. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Dear Santa, if you bring prezzies with batteries, please bring batteries. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-a-Sketch animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, crayon fat markers, and the big gift, my own colour television. If you want, you can drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish. One gift we could all really do with at Christmas time, yet often forget to ask for, is peace. Because peace is so often missing at Christmas. Just going into town to buy someone a gift can be a traumatic experience. If you drive, it can mean long traffic jams and hunting for a parking space. And then you have to battle with hectic shoppers all rushing here and there, only to feel the frustration of long queues at the tills. For many, getting those they love a present is anything but a peaceful experience. Of course, many avoid the madness of physical shopping by doing all their shopping online. Yet even there can be stress as Christmas Day fast approaches and that special present you ordered still hasn't arrived. And then, of course, after all the gifts have been opened on Christmas morning, many homes still experience a stressful time on Christmas Day. The hard work of preparing and serving Christmas dinner, enjoying or enduring a house full of family or visitors. It often appears that the word peace at Christmas is only used in songs, TV programs and movies, but seldom in real life. There is a story of a man who lived in the state of Arizona in the USA. He received some tragic news that his family had been killed in a car accident. And you can imagine the turmoil going through his mind. He was alone for his first Christmas and he was very depressed. So he decided he would go for a hike in the nearby Grand Canyon. He was hoping the exercise, the fresh air and the beauty of the Grand Canyon would take his mind away from the pain and anxiety he was experiencing. At one point in his journey, the man looked up to heaven, and in his frustration and in his bitterness, he shouted mockingly into the sky, "Glory to God in the highest!" And the canyon echoed back, "Highest, highest, highest." He shouted a second time, "And on earth, peace!" And again the canyon echoed back, "Peace, peace, peace." The young man sat down and cried. For him, there was no peace. His peace was like the echo that began to fade and fade and fade far away until you could hear it no more. The word peace appears over 400 times in the Bible. And this peace is not reserved for Christmas time. It is a quality, a characteristic that God wants all his people to consistently experience. But peace on earth, from a human point of view, is so transient, so short-lived. We hope and pray for a ceasing of war and conflict. We hope and pray that we might know domestic peace in our homes. But if we are honest, peace is desperately missing in our world. By contrast, the peace of God is very different. At that first Christmas, angelic beings appeared to some shepherds in a field, and they declared that peace is available. And just in one single verse from the Bible, one single verse from the Christmas story, we find out where to find peace that will last. The last verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Someone has tweaked that verse and tongue-in-cheek said the phrase that best sums up Christmas season now is, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all, and batteries not included." But verse 13 in Luke chapter 2 is often read and quoted, but rarely experienced. "Glory to God in the highest." Many of you will know the Latin phrase, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." You may have sung it in a carol or know it from certain church traditions. It means honour, praise, renown, distinction. They are all words synonymous with glory. And when news reached the shepherds that a saviour had been born, their response was for them to join the angelic hosts in giving honour, praise, renown, and distinction and glory to God. A saviour is born. Note that word carefully. A saviour. Not an example for mankind, although of course he was. A saviour. Not a prophet, though he was. A saviour. Not a healer, though he was. A saviour. Not a miracle worker, though he was. A saviour, not a great teacher, though he was. Those things were important, but they were all secondary to why Jesus came. That message was clear. Jesus was born a saviour. Jesus came to rescue people. Hark, the herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." But in the heat of all your celebration, remember this. Peace on earth did not come through the birth of Jesus. It came through the death of Jesus. And the peace Jesus gives is twofold: peace with God and peace of God. First, we have peace with God. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. There were two tribes in Papua New Guinea who maintained a blood feud between themselves for several generations. Each generation fought and nursed their wounds only to fight again, killing more and more people. After years of struggle, the two tribes realized that they must stop fighting or nothing would be left of their peoples. But what could they do to end years of warring between the two tribes? The chiefs of the two tribes came together and brought with both a child that they called the Peace Child. This child was the son of the opposing chief and was adopted into the family of the opposing chief. As long as that child lived, the two chiefs promised to cease their fighting so that all could live. Jesus is our peace child. You and I, who are God's enemies by the things we think, say, and do, we ought to be judged and condemned by God, but instead, we can be reconciled because of his peace child. Because Jesus lives, we too can experience God's love and forgiveness for us. Secondly, we can experience the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God. A competition was held for artists to come up with a painting on the theme of peace. Soon paintings arrived from far and wide, from all over the world. Finally, it was the day to announce the winner. The tension grew until only two pictures remained veiled. The painting in second place was a typical English countryside. It was a summer setting. The sun was shining. The sky was blue. Sheep were grazing and children were playing. The painting captured a most beautiful, peaceful scene. But the picture that topped it, the picture that won the prize, was very different. It showed a tremendous tempest along the coastline. The stormy grey clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind and rain. The crashing of the waves on the rocks produced a wall of white spray. It was a perfect picture of power, of turmoil and of chaos. But when you looked closely, when you looked a little closer and you saw why it won, a little seagull had built a nest in the cliff face. And she was resting on her eggs with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones. She was content and undisturbed in all her stormy surroundings. She displayed peace in the middle of life's storms. When we have peace with God, we can know the peace of God despite the terrible storms that life may throw at us. Christmas is not what brings peace, but today, the first Sunday in Advent, is a promise of a peace to come, a promise that Jesus will bring peace to all who believe and trust in him. What do you call a human being who doesn't believe in Jesus? A sinner without a hope. What do you call a believer who has faith in Jesus? A sinner who is saved. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For his name's sake, Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, as we fast approach Christmas, help us to remember that it's not about the festivities, it's not about all that stuff. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, who came into this world of turmoil, of chaos, of sin, who grew as one of us, tempted as one of us, yet sinned no. Help us to remember, Lord, that Jesus gave his life for us. That great gift from you that surpasses all Christmas gifts. The gift of a promise of life eternal, where peace reigns, where war has no place, where tears do not exist. Lord, help us to remember, if we want to know that gift, if we want to have that in our hearts, even here in this world, then we need to know Jesus. We need to come to know him and to love him and accept him. And then a peace such as the world cannot give will be given to us freely and unconditionally. Lord, this we pray we come to know. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.